Word on Fire is brought to you by Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Chicago area since 1837.
This is Cardinal Francis George, and I invite you to join me for the next few minutes to reflect with Father Robert Barron on the Word of God, which is the Word on Fire. Father Barron will challenge us to open our hearts to the Word on Fire, which is God's Word of love for each of us. If our hearts are open, the Lord can change and transform us, so that we might speak with love about the one who is love. The Archdiocese of Chicago, through the generosity of Sacred Heart Parish in Winnetka, now presents The Word on Fire.
Peace be with you. Friends, we come once again to the Feast of Christ the King, the feast that signals the end of the liturgical year. Think of it this way: Christ the King comes like a dignitary at the end of a long procession, like the Pope making his way into St. Peter's, preceded by all of the other ministers. We end the liturgical year with this reminder that Christ is our King. Now, the readings for the cycle this year make a very strong link between Christ's kingship and shepherding. It's difficult for us. I know we're not really accustomed to shepherds. We know about them from history books. We see images of them. But see, shepherding was very much at the heart of rural life in biblical times. So it was a natural image for them. But here's the fundamental point. Authentic kingship in the biblical sense hasn't a thing to do with pomp and self-importance and self-indulgence. It has to do with servant leadership. Think of the long process by which Moses learned to be a shepherd in the desert. Moses, who was a prince of Egypt, raised among the pomp and circumstance of the court of the Pharaoh, but he wasn't ready to be king. Only at the end of a long, simple, difficult apprenticeship was he ready to lead his people. Our first reading gives us one aspect of this shepherding. The passage is from the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. An extraordinary sermon that I would urge you to read in its entirety. Ezekiel is told to prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, which is to say the kings of Israel. The prophetic message is simple. You, kings, have been feeding yourselves and not caring for the sheep, using your power to your own advantage. Here's the language of Ezekiel. You failed to make weak sheep strong, or to care for the sick ones, or to bandage the wounded ones. You failed to bring back strays or to look for the lost. See, the whole purpose of Israelite kingship was to unite and foster the people Israel, that they in turn might become a magnet to the other nations. I mentioned to you before that Israel is never chosen for its own sake. Israel is chosen to be a priestly people, a people after Yahweh's heart, who would then be in their perfection, a magnet to the other nations. But see, this is why the failure of the Israelite kings properly to shepherd the people, to gather the tribes, was not simply a political or cultural problem. It was a massively theological problem. See, and this is why the prophet said Israel was so often overrun by its enemies. Again, think of the Egyptians holding the Israelites captive. Think of the Babylonians who destroyed them. Think of the Assyrians. Think of the Greeks and the Romans eventually. All these enemies of Israel overwhelming the nation. Well, here's Ezekiel's take on it. Listen. My flock is looted, and for lack of a shepherd, is now the prey of any wild animal. Well, it's symbolic language, isn't it? Who are the wild animals? But Egypt, Assyria, Philistine, Babylon, Greece, Rome. The flock is looted for lack of a shepherd. But Yahweh promises through Ezekiel that he would one day come and shepherd his people Israel, not relying on human kings, but shepherding them himself. Now, remember a few weeks ago on the Feast of John Lateran, we talked about Ezekiel's prophecy that the glory of Yahweh would leave the temple, but that one day the temple would be cleansed. Yahweh would in fact return, and from that purified temple, water would flow forth. Now, a very similar rhythm is going on here. The kings of Israel are flawed, they're imperfect, shepherding themselves. But one day, he prophesies, Yahweh himself will come and shepherd his people. So, just as Jesus, the high priest, Jesus is himself the new temple. So now, Jesus is himself Yahweh shepherding his people. In John's gospel, we find this wonderful image of Jesus, the good shepherd. Now, don't get all sentimental about this, as though all that means is, well, isn't he a nice, gentle, humble soul? No. The gospel writer is making a much more radical point here. Jesus is Yahweh in person, doing what he had promised to do through the prophet Ezekiel. I myself will come and shepherd my people Israel. One of the principal tasks of the Mashiach we saw was to cleanse the temple. Another one was to shepherd the people, to gather the scattered tribes. Again, Ezekiel in his prophecy says, there are the flocks of the Lord, the sheep of the Lord, but they're scattered on the hillsides. The Messiah's job, the shepherd's job, was to gather them. Hence he says at the commencement of his public ministry, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. See what that means? The kingdom of God, the gathering of the tribes, is at hand. Now repent, turn around. That's what the word means. Turn around and believe this good news. Jesus the shepherd, then, in the course of his public ministry, reaches out to the sinner, the victim, the sick, the forgotten, and he calls them in. He reaches out to Matthew, the tax collector. He calls him in. He reaches out to the man born blind. He calls him in. He reaches out to the woman at the well. He calls her into communion. Again and again, it's the shepherding task of the Lord, the kingly task of the good shepherd. All of this culminated on the cross. Oh, on that cross, he was the purified temple. From his wounded side, the water that Ezekiel prophesied came forth. And so, on the cross, he is also the shepherd. Remember this? When the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself. Ah, what began in his public ministry would culminate on that cross when he would become the magnet to the tribes of Israel and to the tribes of the world. That's why, in that delicious irony, it's Pontius Pilate who puts over the cross the sign, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. I myself will shepherd my people. You see it most clearly there on the cross. The one who really understood this with great clarity was Paul. Paul, who understood that the risen Jesus was the King of the nations. And that's why he, Paul, discerned his own mission as the announcement of this kingship to all the world. Why did Paul feel obliged to go everywhere? Yes, even to Rome, and yes, even to the ends of the world. Paul said, I want to go to Spain. In his own time, that would have meant Timbuktu. It meant the furthest corner of the world. Because his job was to declare Jesus is the King. And therefore, all of you have to be gathered in his name, under his power. The church, for 2,000 years, has echoed Paul. There's a basic ministry of the church, a basic task of the church, down through the ages. to invite people into union with Christ. One of the more overlooked lines in the Creed is this one. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. So we speak of the resurrection of Jesus, his ascension into heaven. Then we say he's seated at the right hand of the Father. What does that mean? It's kind of a peculiar image. So he's up, what, up in heaven someplace, sitting down. See, but that meant something powerful in the ancient world. That was the attitude of a king. The king would sit, and he would reign from his throne. People who came to supplicate the king would come to his throne room, and they would kneel at his feet as he sat on the throne. So, Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father, is the one who is ruling the world, shepherding all the people of Israel and of the other nations. Okay. Now, in the gospel for today, we find this theme of shepherding explored in a somewhat disturbing way. Our reading is taken from that familiar and chilling 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel. I say chilling because Jesus speaks there of the last judgment and of the separation of sheep from goats, from the blessed from the damned. What's the criterion? The blessed are those who served Christ in the least of their brothers and sisters, who saw Christ in the homeless and the hungry and the thirsty and the lonely and the afraid, and who served him concretely in them. The damned are those who saw Christ in his need and did nothing. As he friends, listen, shepherding, drawing the sheep into safety, guiding them by right paths, yes. But Jesus knew one of the tasks of the shepherd was to separate those in the flock from those outside. In the language of this chapter of Matthew, to separate the sheep from the goats. And so this king of Israel, this king of all the nations, is a separating figure. At the last judgment, at the close of the age, Jesus the king and shepherd will appear and will separate out those who are members of his flock and those who are not. Is this God's arbitrary judgment? No, it's the acknowledgement of those who by their actions belong to Christ and those who by their actions do not. Those who have not behaved as God are by their own will, by their own choice, excluded from his community. Those who do are members of that community. Again, not God being arbitrary, but God acknowledging in Christ those who belong to him and those who don't. That's why, friends, at the end of the liturgical year on the Feast of Christ the King, when we acknowledge Christ's shepherding, it's also time for us to do some very serious introspection. Have we heard him? Have we submitted ourselves to his judgment, to his leadership? Do we acknowledge that he is the one that sits at the right hand of the Father? Have we served him in those who are hungry and afraid and alone and thirsty and imprisoned? The Feast of Christ the King, Christ the Shepherd, compels in us a choice. Are we with him or against him? And God bless you.
I hope that you were moved today by the Word on Fire. I pray that, together, we might become a people on fire with love for God and neighbor here in Chicago and wherever these words are heard. Until we join Father Barron again next week, I'm Cardinal Francis George. God bless you.